in defense of Zumba Strong. Exploring the culture, the adventure, and the impact of martial arts. That's what we do at Kung Fu Podcast, and I'm your host, T.W. Smith. If this is your first time to the program, welcome. You're in the audience of some of the finest and sharpest martial arts in the world. People that take a great deal of care and put in a lot of sweat equity to hone their craft. This particular program is going to be one of those make-yourself-do-it exercises. You know, the ones that we typically have to do where, you know, you really don't want to have to go practice your break falls, but you just got to go do it. Before we get into the program, I'd like to make you aware of something. If you're an independent practitioner of the martial arts, you know, there's only two associations that I'm involved with, and that's the World Combat Association and the Shuritei Bujutsu Kai Association. One of the benefits of the World Combat Association is the fact that you get information like their newsletter that is basically priceless. I mean, you can get information from folks like Ian Abernathy, Peter Constantine, and other excellent martial artists from around the world. Whether you are independent or part of another association, if you'd like to be a part of a group that allows any style of practitioner to come in, no politics and all that other kind of stuff, then I could highly recommend the World Combat Association. If you have any questions, just go to kungfupodcast.com, shoot me an email, and I can get you in touch with the right people. Now let's get into the feature of this particular program, in defense of Zumba Strong. Recently, as I was looking through my Instagram feed, I saw this advertisement come up for Zumba Strong. I looked at it for about 3 seconds, and I'm going to be honest. I was kind of put off by it at the beginning, my initial impression, so I kind of scanned through it. And then it occurred to me how I felt about it, so I went back to it because I knew that it was probably time for me to exercise one of our golden rules, which is trying to learn to be the prosecutor and defender of all things. And I've done a pretty good job of that in many cases. The only one I still can't really defend is the whole magic chi thing, but, you know, maybe one day I'll be open-minded enough to see how I could, you know, knock down 3 people with the tip of my finger from 20 feet. But until then, I'm going to leave it for the movies and call it good. The ad came across, and I took some screenshots, and for those of you who follow over at patreon.com, the ad says, quote, "Martial arts is the foundation upon which we build our routines. As a strong by Zumba instructor, you'll be using kicks, punches, and other high-intensity movements to push your students to the limit." One of the things that got my attention was that it had 75,000 views at the time and a whole bunch of comments, which I'm going to share some of them with you here in a little bit. Here are some of the features that they highlight during their advertisement. For example, music made for high-intensity training puts you in the zone faster. High-energy tracks that keep you going. Then they put in fresh routines monthly, no more preparing classes. Then another one was class was built for leaders. Easy moves broken into quadrants. Again, when I first saw the ad, I was like, ugh, you know, this is just awful. But it made me remember of a conversation I had with Ando Marzwa. And if you don't know Ando, I encourage you to go find his information. We usually find it on Facebook, YouTube, and he's an excellent martial artist and a fine gentleman. I was in a conversation with Ando one time, and we were talking about McDojo-type facilities that many traditional martial artists, like myself, would go, and Ando made a very valid point as we were talking about it, which was it can be an entryway for hundreds, if not thousands, of people into the martial arts that may not otherwise get involved in the martial arts. And if you consider that, and that those folks would evolve and transform, and a percentage of them, of course not all of them, but maybe a small percentage of those folks would look at it and go, okay, I've realized that this isn't all that I need to know, or I aspire to learn deeper into the traditional martial arts. Then they come looking for someone like you, who is probably a practical martial artist or a practical martial arts instructor. So even though initially how some of the martial arts are put out there we may not necessarily agree with, it can provide an opportunity to introduce martial arts to people who would not otherwise get involved in it. Another defense that was made in the argument for martial arts in a different form was made by Ian Abernathy, in his podcast, In Defense of Combat Sports. That is also an excellent listen. So certainly, if we can make a reputable argument for a McDojo or for sports in martial arts, for example, or in theory, we should be able to make the same argument for Zumba martial arts dance moves. And I'm going to give it a shot. Well, like I said, first it could act as a funnel way, as an entryway to introducing martial arts movements to people who may not otherwise get involved with it. And we might get a small percentage of those folks who would trickle down eventually to looking deeper into the martial arts. But let's look more at the advertisements. What were they targeting and how were they doing it? And again, you can find those screenshots. First of all, it was targeted to people who would aspire to be certified as an instructor. The lead instructors were Master Trainer Umar Sararif and his wife, Lead Master Trainer Ali Sararif. Now, I probably butchered their last names, but I gave it a good shot. They're both dressed in gis and black belts. And during the videos, of course, they're in tights for their advertisement or showing the stuff as far as their work goes. And to be honest, I'm not sure of the style because I didn't really consider that important. However, I did check into Mr. Sararif, and it appears that he has some kumite experience and has won several competitions in martial arts in some previous training. The screenshots during the advertisement will say things like, "Strong by Zumba, fighting elements." It'll also say, "Learn core martial arts movements." First, in case you missed the last two podcasts, number 170 and 171, where we looked at the difference between physical actions and physical movements. The episodes were titled Motor Resonance, Action versus Movement. And then the February bonus episode, which was over at Patreon, was titled Martial Mind Over Muscle. If we make sure that we can define the difference between movements and actions, at this point, it's not too bad. So far, the advertisement can act as a funnel to bring in new people. It emphasizes core movements, and it's building on updated monthly exercise routines. They actually go ahead and tell you that you're going to learn about biomechanics and injury prevention as part of the program. But then it goes sideways real fast for me, because you're going to learn all of this, all this martial arts movement, biomechanics, injury prevention, all this. And then the screenshot comes in, get licensed to teach Strong by Zumba with our one-day training class. Take our intensive one-day instructor training course and master these foundational skills. Well, even if their one-day training class was 24 straight hours, the possibility of learning all that in a single day is just beyond my understanding, especially since I didn't see anything about prerequisites. You know, like, do you have a master's in biomechanics or exercise science, or are you a physical education teacher? Something, right? But I'm sure they have something. I just didn't see it. But the idea of showing up and learning all this in one day and getting certified and licensed seems a big reach to me. In their ad also, they were demonstrating applying a knife hand, which is sometimes known as shuto. Well, perhaps there is a gap between what they demonstrated in their ad and what their Zumba martial arts movement instructor is going to learn in their one-day camp. But just by the fact that they even had that little demo in their ad was a little off-putting as well. Again, I'm trying to defend it. But, you know, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling. And I'm going to try to stay forward, stay positive. Well, in the marketing also I read through when I followed their links, the Strong Zumba emphasizes all the health benefits and the fun factors of doing it to music. It's all synced with music. You may have saw my little promo. I was trying my best to do it. Their instructor program points to these five pillars: optimized body weight training, moving in sync with music, which I did poorly, customizing classes, maximizing options, and preventing injuries. Well, on the downside to some of the licensure part of it, one of the people who took it made a comment and said, "I took the license to teach this last year at the convention and offered it to the gyms where I teach, and they told me that they were not interested in this format because it was too similar to others that already exist." Someone else wrote in and said, please don't fall for this scam. If you want to learn martial arts movements, go to a martial arts school. You wouldn't go to Burger King and order a steak. And then someone else responded in defense and say, you all are making me laugh because this is a workout. It says so right there on the ad. It's not a martial art. And to be honest, I can see and agree with the initial impressions on both sides. It can be misleading that a person is learning martial arts, especially if you demonstrate a technique toward the side of someone's head and then just call it a movement. That looks a lot more like an action to me. However, if you leave the term martial arts just hanging out there without giving it a good definition, then we're open to all types of interpretation. We talk about that a lot here on the program. Does that include self-defense? Does that include using weapons or not? Does it include having a uniform or not? I have no problem with them teaching fundamental martial arts movements. It may even save us time later on if one of those students decide to learn traditional martial arts or practical martial arts for self-defense. To be honest, in some ways, I even consider it less hazardous than saying an MMA practitioner is practicing traditional martial arts, just because they practice martial actions, but without any of the other responsibilities that a traditional martial artist will learn. For example, practicing progressive level of force. Not every scenario we get involved in may need to end with a elbow break or a rear naked choke. That's the same problem that the U.S. Marine Corps had after World War II. These were all very well-trained young men who had been ingrained in finishing moves. Then they're put out on police-like responsibilities, and they weren't trained for that. They didn't exercise that. They had been taught and trained that every encounter ends one way, and that became a problem. So the Marine Corps went back to revamp their MMAC program to include a variety of scenarios that may end with a different type of objective. And unfortunately, I've had to deal with or work with some of these walking hand grenades that are waiting to go off because they have practiced over and over again acts of violence without the acts of restraint, and everything they look at becomes a competition and a fight. That can become very hazardous. And if we consider that the responder that referred to the facilities weren't interested because of other types of programs already existed, I'm going to assume that they were referring to Tai Bo and cardio kickboxing. Now, being an old timer, I immediately thought of the responses that first started when Billy Blanks came out with the Tai Bo classes. It was a whirlwind of a mess. And for those of you who may not know, Tai Bo is also described as a total fitness system that includes martial art techniques such as kicks and punches, and it was very popular in the 1990s. It's also hard for me to remember that some of you listening to this program were born after Magnum P.I., and I mean the original Magnum P.I., not that whatever that is that's been remade. And in August 1999, Black Belt Magazine, Mr. Bill Wallace, who's going to be at a seminar with Ian Abernathy and Jesse Inkamp, which is the Karate Nerd Experience 2019 that you can find on his website, karatebyjesse.com. Mr. Wallace wrote about the pros and cons of Tai Bo aerobics. As part of the strengths of the Tai Bo program, he wrote that Billy Blanks and his associates were excellent fighters, and some of that expertise was shared with the students. He points to how it's high energy, it's coordinated with music, and that it becomes very fashionable. He also writes, quote, through the exercise, they build their rhythm, stamina, strength, and endurance, end quote. He also writes that just like the tip of the funnel, that some of these Tai Bo students may very well one day enroll themselves in traditional karate classes or martial arts classes. But here's some of the weaknesses that he points out. One of them is to make sure that the students are stretching out very good. There was a little part there where there were some legal issues about people getting injured during that type of class. He also says that the students should be taught how to do the techniques correctly. For example, learning how to throw a kick correctly so that you snap it back, keeping the joint safe instead of just dropping the leg after you throw the kick. He continues by saying that there was another problem, and that in the infomercials, some of the Tai Bo students, particularly the female students, claimed that their training made them feel safer on the streets. And that can be misleading, much like I was saying them demonstrating a knife hand technique. The Taibo students are only learning how to throw kicks and punches to music. They are not learning self-defense. In reality, they're not being taught how to use those techniques, and they sure can't be learning that in a one-day seminar. And perhaps the biggest claim of defense for the Taibo that Mr. Wallace had is that they were, quote, doing the martial arts industry a great service by boosting the image of the arts in the public eye, end quote. So that was Taibo during the 90s, and then we also had cardio kickboxing that came on the scene, which was taught in the fitness facilities where kickboxing was taught at the martial arts schools. Of course, during a kickboxing class, you learn the techniques of punching, kicking, blocking, counters, and all the footwork. You may even start hitting on the heavy bags on the focus mitts. And all of that does sound like cardio work. Well, then what differentiates that between cardio kickboxing? They both do have cardio elements, but cardio is just for that. It's for cardio. It's not for fighting. It's not for self-defense. And cardio kickboxing is something that you do, whereas kickboxing is something that you learn. And perhaps that's the best way of explaining the whole thing, is that you're going to learn martial arts. You're going to do Zumba Strong. And if we took a moment and changed the perspective from the ad target to the instructors paying for certification to whether or not the class itself is effective, like Mr. Wallace was talking about on the Taibo, we want to remember that our next question has to be, is it effective doing what? And in regards to effectiveness, exercise programs can assist in reducing so many risk factors, both psychologically and physically, that from that viewpoint, I have no qualms with the Zumba Strong, Taibo, or kickboxing. In fact, if my mom called me up and said, hey, I was thinking about doing Zumba Strong or cardio kickboxing, I'd be going, Mom, that's so great. I just get your exercise. We know that the effect of a 10-week Taibo intervention program on physical fitness and health-related risk factors was published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, November 2013, where they used over 60 overweight individuals in a Taibo class 3 days a week for 10 weeks. They set the baselines by using standard battery of tests for strength, balance, anthropometrics, and etc. The researchers stated in their findings, quote, there was a significant improvement in weight, BMI, waist and hip circumference, glucose, triglycerides, total cholesterol, LDL-C, HDL-C, resting heart rate, and resting systolic and diastolic blood pressures following the intervention. A 10-week, 30-session Taibo exercise program was effective in reducing traditional risk factors associated with cardio, metabolic disease, and overweight, obese university students, end quote. Okay, so if we surrender to the fact that the exercise training programs is going to have a positive effect on a wealth of physiological parameters, and we're not going to take any issue with that, then what about on the other fronts? Psychologically, activities such as Taibo, cardio kickboxing, dance, and it would be safe to lump Zumba Strong in there, have demonstrated that they can pierce through the psychology of not having enough time to train. Students in many classes learn firsthand that consistent exercise puts energy and time back in their pocket. You reduce the need to sleep as much. Your energy per task is improved with focus. And if you lose weight in the process, you can reduce other stressors that lessen your load. Sociologically, which is a big deal for many people, these types of activities can help people pierce through the fears of interacting socially. And think about that for a moment. How many people prefer not to be around groups of people, just in general? Compound that exponentially in a martial arts class that can be combative, or let's say more primal, and not to mention only semi-compliant in many cases. A person facing a social interaction dilemma has no chance in those circumstances. So when you put them in an opportunity to be in a non-violent, 100% compliant and lighthearted martial arts movement class, maybe they can address several problems at once and then find their way to you later. Remember, if you're going to be a martial artist, you've got to work with people, and you've got to have people that you can train with and building up against semi-compliant and even less compliant partners. No martial artist can stay in solitude and begin mastering martial actions. You have to have training partners, and the other times you have your katas, your forms, your muk jung, the card of pain, whatever other training implements that you might use. But you got to be socially interactive. So in closing, the idea of having a demonstration of a knife hand technique where you're saying that it's only going to be on martial arts movements, that's a problem. And the fact that you're going to learn all of this stuff in a single day, and I don't care if it's a 24-hour straight day, that's way over my ability to comprehend about how you're going to do that. But on the defense side of it, more people getting involved in teaching is going to hopefully allow for greater classes to be out there, which, as we were saying earlier, that can act as the tip of the funnel, getting people involved in martial arts in a set of circumstances that they may never get involved in martial arts with. And then later they trickle down to someone like yourself, who is a traditional martial artist, a practical martial artist, and they want to learn more about the movements that they've been taught. The classes themselves get people involved in improving their physiological factors, their psychological factors, and learning martial arts movements in a social setting. Now, I don't think my martial arts school is going to be hosting any strong Zumba or Tai Bo classes anytime soon, but I do think that if someone was interested in getting introduced to martial arts movements through a class like Tai Bo, cardio kickboxing, or strong Zumba, I would encourage them. At least it gets them started, gets them moving. And who knows, maybe they'll come back to you to learn more. But most of all, we want to remind ourselves to be patient. If we want to have the bigger and better conversations about what traditional martial arts are, or what we can learn from them, or how we can practice them, then we have to keep the windows open. So if someone wants to learn something in a way we may not necessarily agree with, but it could lead to the bigger and better conversations. It's a reminder that we cannot manage what we avoid. And if we avoid the conversations about strong Zumba or Tai Bo, then you can't manage it. So be open to it as much as you can. With that being said, you want to have an operational definition of what traditional martial arts means to you and your school. In my view, learning how to roughly execute a sidekick to music isn't even close to learning traditional martial arts. So we need to recognize that there are some strengths and weaknesses of programs like Strong Zumba, but we don't have to be afraid of them. Look for the March bonus episode coming out in just a couple of weeks. In fact, just a few nights ago, I released from the archives the podcast of Tibetan Kung Fu number 5, Mortar for the Bricks, and that was from 2013. You can see some of the information associated with that podcast, kungfupodcast.com. Overall, I've been doing much better releasing content each week, which includes the podcast, of course, audiobooks, videos, tutorials, and transcripts. Please keep up your training, keep it going, and who knows, put it to music sometime. See what you get out of it. Anyway, love to hear from you. KungFuPodcast.com. Take care. I'll be talking with you soon.